love you, listeners, and reasons like today are exactly why. This is the Eye on College Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Norlander. If you are not subscribed yet, please do. In iTunes, feel free, search for CBSSports.com. Basketball, Ion College Basketball Podcast, any of those variations, and help our listenership go up. But this is an early morning edition coming to you straight out of Gainesville, Connecticut, and Memphis. Goodman and Parrish are joining me. Fellas, how are we doing?
I'm awesome. How are you, Matt Norlander?
I'm good. Gary sounds much more awake and alert than I am, but you've been up for a little while. Goodman is why we are doing this.
Here's what happened. You guys are always clowning me. Like, I have this reputation as, like, Goodman's always talking about, Parrish is probably asleep and Parrish is whatever. I get up at this time, and for people who don't, it's 6:40 Central time right now. I get up at 5:40 every morning because my kid gets up, and so, like, you guys are all, like, when we get on the call, you guys are all, like, worn out and tired. I feel great. Like, I'm just getting my day started. I'm like, what was the commercial with the arms, with the service academy, or was it the Army or the Navy? They do more before 7 a.m. than most people do every morning or all day or something.
What do you do then?
Oh, I don't do much.
Before 7 a.m., what do you actually do? Do you just lay in bed?
I mostly do this. This is usually my routine. Brush your teeth! Get out of bed!
I bet. Wait. While Kelly actually gets your kid ready.
Yeah, I'm mostly involved with screaming from a distance.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. No. This is we're recording this well before 8 a.m. Goodman's in Gainesville. Got to catch a flight to North Carolina to catch Duke and Carolina. By the way, if you go to the wake-up call, the manager game ended with a buzzer beater between UNC and Duke.
I missed it. Last year, I watched the manager. I think it was last year. Watched the manager game.
Yeah, this one ended actually on a true buzzer beat. I thought that was pretty cool. So we got a few things to get to here before we can look ahead to that one, and we'll clearly start with Kentucky and Florida because Goodman was there. Nerlens Noel goes out. We don't know the diagnosis on his knee as of the time of this recording. But Goodman, why don't you take us in there and set the scene and tell us what you know.
Yeah, I mean, sad for me because this is a kid that I've known for about 5 years and as good a kid as you'll meet, plays hard. He's kind of the one kid on Kentucky that you couldn't criticize for his play this year. Everybody else, it was disappointment. You know, Alex Poitras drifts in and out. He's probably too nice. And Archie Goodwin just has very little feel for the game so far. And Ryan Harrow is just kind of a mess at the point guard spot, up and down. Nerlens has played hard. He's the one constant, the one guy that Big Blue Nation, the one guy that John Calipari could count on day in and day out, every play to play hard. He was the only guy that looked like he belonged to the court last night.
Hey, go ahead.
He goes down. He's trying to, you know, block some Mike Rosario shot. And I've seen Nerlens probably 30 times go down over the course of his career and one injury or another. And he's just frail looking. You know, he's so thin. His legs are so thin. His body's so thin that you kind of worry. And last night he goes down kind of in a heap, grabbing that knee. After it came down awkwardly, I don't know if it buckled. You couldn't tell. I watched the replay a bunch of times. And then one angle, it looked like kind of the knee might have popped out a little bit. And from what I was told, so he's on the ground screaming. I mean, you can hear him screaming. And I'm probably, I don't know, 15 feet away. And he's absolutely screaming. I talked to fans after the game that were about 50 rows up. And they said they could hear him screaming. So
there's a picture, like, I watched the replay 100 times as well, and you can't quite tell what happened, but there's a picture circulating this morning on Twitter. Have you seen it, Norlander?
Oh, God, it's really awful.
I mean, yeah, your leg's not supposed to bend that way.
Yeah,
I mean,
also in the wake-up call.
Is it his knee popping out?
No, it's almost at like a 90-degree angle.
Yeah, it's from the back, and the shot's taken from the back, and his leg is bit, like Matt said, almost at a 90-degree angle. So who knows at this moment? Again, it's early Wednesday morning, exactly what the diagnosis is going to be. But it a couple different things. A, when you scream like that, that suggests there's something really wrong, unless you're being a little B, which nobody thinks that was the case.
No,
B,
no.
When you have to get wheeled out of the arena in a wheelchair, that suggests that something's wrong. And then when you combine that with this picture that's circulating that shows your leg bending that way, I can't imagine the diagnosis is going to be good. We're not going to see him. I don't want to jump the gun, but I'd be surprised. I'd be surprised if we see him play anytime soon. I might. I don't know. It's a sad deal. And like last night, I tweeted and I got a little bit of pushback from a couple of dumb people. Because I tweeted the following, like, I hate to see any kid lying there like this, right? I mean, it's just a devastating thing to watch. But it's even worse when it's somebody like Nerlens Noel, who is literally worth millions of dollars. And people, you know, sometimes people are just dumb. And you try to ignore them as best you can, but you can't ignore everybody. And, you know, you're like, oh, it's, you know, so, you know, what a, you know, how could you put a monetary measure.
Well, you compare it to Sam Malone or something like that, a kid.
Listen, if I tear my knee up tonight at the Y playing basketball, it sucks, right? I mean, like, I got to go through surgery.
It's not going to affect the rest of your life.
It won't. It's not going to cost me millions of dollars. With Nerlens, it very literally could cost him millions of dollars. I'm not saying it will. Even with a torn ACL or something serious like that, he's still a lottery pick, so it's not like he's going to be poor. But like the idea that it isn't tougher to watch when you just watch something bad happen to a kid who could probably would already be a millionaire if there wasn't this one and done rule that the NBA is put into play. The idea that that's not worse somehow is just, if you can't grasp that, you're just an idiot, you know. And so, like, when you
and what makes it like I said, what makes it even worse, Gary, is again what the character of the kid and how hard the kid played. He played the game the right way. So take it up even another level. He's not this spoiled kid who might be a number one pick who might, again, it might cost him millions of dollars. Every part of it was significant, and you just felt horrible for the kid. You feel horrible for Kentucky, but again, you feel much worse for the kid.
Yeah, and to your point, like, think about how this happened. It wasn't, you know, some fluky thing on the offensive. He was running back in transition, trying to make a basketball play in a situation where a lot of guys might not even hustle back. So your point that he plays hard, that happened while he was playing hard. It might have happened because he was playing hard. And just like when we watched Marcus Lattimore lay on the field, you know, during the college football season, you know, if you go to a high school football game and you watch a running back tear his ACL, that sucks. But, like, you know, it doesn't necessarily cost the kid anything other than the knee injury that everybody else has had and a football season that everybody else has had. You know, there is a monetary value put on these kids, and to watch that happen to him, I just hope that A, it's not as serious as it looked, that B, even if it is, you know, he rehabs it well and still is drafted at the place that he would have been drafted, because it's sick. It feels like a punch to the stomach when you watch a kid, particularly somebody who's respected as a good kid, you know, have to sit there, because you know on some level that's running through his mind and the people close to him, their minds as well.
Yeah, and we don't know if we'll ever see him in a Kentucky uniform again. We'll see what the diagnosis is here.
Three things I was told last night by somebody who had a good look at him was a ruptured tendon, a dislocated kneecap, or a torn ACL. None of which are good. None of which will have him back in a Kentucky uniform this year. He had tests done at the local hospital, which I think was a small hospital right on campus. So I assume he'll test again, done here to do it today in Lexington on Wednesday. And, you know, again, I don't anticipate it. I mean, Patrick Young, when I asked him about it, he just looked at me and he was like, it was bad, man. It was really bad.
We'll see what happens, but this, it'll be I'm guessing he won't play for Kentucky again and then go to the draft, and it'll be an interesting legacy for a player that I think's got a pretty good shot at becoming a pretty decent pro, especially if he can get better on the offensive end. And now it just it totally alters Kentucky's year, and it's amazing how injuries are just, you know, just results in general can change the perspective and purview for a program, because when we look at the preseason, obviously it was a top three team, and now it's like if Kentucky can somehow keep its season together, they don't have Noel, and they make like a Sweet 16, it'll be a victory of a season. It's so interesting how those things can change, and I think that's the realistic expectation now for this team, right?
I don't even think that's realistic anymore. I mean, I think, like, let's be honest, the Sweet 16 was ambitious even before last night with a healthy Nerlens Noel. If he's right. You know, this team hasn't been good all year long. Like, you know, I was on a radio show yesterday somewhere, and they asked me about Kentucky, and they said, hey, they've won five straight, so John's got this going, huh? And I said, they've won five straight against who? Like, four of the teams are outside of the top 90 at KenPom.com. The only win in the stretch that would even be considered notable was at Ole Miss, and at this point, you know, Ole Miss's only win is a home win over Missouri without Lawrence Bower. So how good is Ole Miss? We don't even know that anymore. And so...
Mediocre?
Yeah, Ole Miss is probably, not a top 25 team. So, And so, we didn't have Kentucky in our top 25 and one on Sunday. And the reason is because their resume, and Jeff and I looked at it and discussed it, there's just no way that's a top 25 resume. They don't have the wins and they got bad losses. And so a Sweet 16, even with Nerlens, was kind of ambitious because – and not necessarily by definition, but in some way, in a loose way, you're saying that's going to be one of the best 16 teams in the country. And they had not played like that all year long. I think what this does is it puts them probably in a spot where they may end up on the bubble. Because you got to think, if they were taking bad losses with Nerlens, they're probably going to take some without him. And in terms of perception of the season, I hate to put it in these terms, but it in some way... it kind of builds in an excuse if this season, if they end up missing the NCAA tournament, because if you start preseason top five and you miss the NCAA tournament or get bounced in the first round, you by definition have had a bad season or an underachieving season. But now we can forever be in a conversation of what ifs, and that what if, the way it can be framed now is 5-game winning streak going into Florida, had got back in the top 25, were playing the right way, then Nerlens went down, and so what are you going to do?
Can I clarify something? For 30 minutes last night, Kentucky had no shot with Nerlens Noel in the lineup of beating Florida. I know it was at Florida, but what? They're just not very good. Like you said earlier, Poitras was terrible. Goodwin was worse. Harrow looked like he wasn't even on the court. Wiltshire couldn't guard anybody. I watched it up close last night, and I thought, like you said, hey, they're on a little bit of a run here. I really did think they'd give Florida a game last night. And while it was only 12 points when Nerlens went down, they had zero chance of winning that ball game.
But listen, I agree with you. I'm just talking about how it can be framed down the road. Mm-hmm. People will forget that they were getting blown out at Florida even with Nerlens. The way the narrative can be built is – they were on a 5-game winning streak, and they were down 20 at Florida, but they had cut it to whatever. And they were on their way back, and then Nerlens goes down, and, so this season would have turned out way differently, and I think it would have. But I just think that, again, nobody ever—
fooling themselves. People are fooling themselves if they're trying to go that route. That's all I'm saying is this team was not going anywhere. Watching them last night, you could clearly tell that this team was not— they were going to go to the NCAA tournament and probably losing their first game.
But is that people now have a built-in reason, whether it's a real reason or a completely
created reason. You can all come up with excuses. You can come up with, excuses why you use, a pound of hair gel.
Okay, there we go. Now I'm waking up. Here we are. So that's Kentucky, Florida, and credit to the Gators for bouncing back and looking.
Right. They did play well.
And looking dominant. Yeah.
He tried to be funny, and the best he can do is hair jokes. Here's my thing to you. If you can't do better than hair jokes, you can just not even try to be funny.
I just haven't had a lot of sleep. I mean, listen, I got to go back to the well. and I've only had a few hours of sleep.
Dude calls me last night. Like, he had called and was like, listen, I gotta send you this video to put in the column for Florida. I was like, that's fine. All right, dude, sounds good. I'll talk to you later. Have a nice night. He calls me, like, 20 minutes later, and I'm like, okay, now what? He's like, I might be locked out. I don't know if I can get my car. And then you tweet a picture. Where are you seeing the Oscar Mayer Wiener car, dude? You want to take us?
It's in my hotel parking lot. Yeah, I come back last night, and I park in this lot because I was too late to park in the regular lot, so they put me in this field. Gary might know it. It's like right across from the basketball offices next to the baseball stadium. So they put me in this field. I'm like, all right, I got to walk a little further. That sucks, but whatever. And then I come back, and I look. I'm the only car in the lot, in the field. And I'm like, that's fine, whatever. And I see that the gate is padlocked. I'm like, damn, like, what am I going to do? Gate is padlocked. Nobody around. And I got to leave for the airport early this morning. So luckily I called Florida Sports Information Director Denver Parler, who handled it, called somebody that actually had the key, came down, young operations guy, and let me out. So that was good. And then I come back to my hotel, and somebody's getting arrested at my hotel. There's a guy in boxer shorts out in front of my hotel with like five cops. It looked like a scene from one of those bad shows.
Cops.
Yeah, from Cops. And I look, it was like surreal. It was a weird picture. I just had a couple soft drinks. I came back.
You can say beers on the podcast, man. It's okay.
No, I don't want anybody to know that I drank.
Okay.
So I see this big Oscar Mayer Wiener car that I'm thinking of maybe just renting that thing instead of flying to Raleigh. Thing all the way to Raleigh for Carolina Duke. Like, wouldn't that be cool to show up? I mean, you got to see this thing on Twitter. Goodman CBS, by the way.
Yeah, Goodman CBS. I'll link to it in the podcast recap on the site as well. This is
absolutely driving in this thing all the way to Raleigh.
The thing is ridiculous. Actually, this is what we need to get when we're like in Georgia next year for the July recruit.
Oh, cool. You're right.
For the recruiting circuit.
First you get hungry just looking at it.
Oh, it's just absolutely ridiculous. The other big game from Tuesday night was Michigan State just throttling Michigan. I mean, it wasn't even close. It was twice as bad as Florida against Kentucky. And so now everyone's going to talk.
We're not talking Rutgers Seton Hall in this spot.
We will not be talking. We will not be talking Rutgers Seton Hall.
I have notes ready.
Yeah, no, we'll put those off maybe till next week or 2016. But yeah, listen, I'm gonna let Goodman take a lot of credit here for being on the Michigan State bandwagon and saying they were as good as Indiana and Michigan as early as 3 weeks ago. Because damn, did they look really good? And by the way, I love the tweet from Draymond. He said, "In other news, what my Spartan dogs did to those bums up the street is very uplifting." I expect that That's though. Great. I thought that was great. Draymond Green is one of the best follows on Twitter. I love that his avatar is a picture of him on a basketball card. I think that's pretty cool. But anyway, before we get to Goodman, Parrish, you haven't talked nearly enough on this podcast. Some thoughts on Sparty.
Snoring over that.
I was surprised by the point, by the margin of the game, but not surprised that Michigan State won. I was surprised when I looked at the odds yesterday and Michigan State was actually catching a point at home. Given Tom Izzo with this team, a point at home, that didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. And so I expected them to win the game. I didn't expect them to win like that. And it just sort of, like, you can give Goodman credit all you want to, but go back and look at our projected Final Fours for midseason. I had Michigan State as one of my teams.
My apologies.
And,
I'm sorry.
And Michigan is just on the end of a ridiculous four-game stretch where they had to go at Indiana, home against Ohio State, at Wisconsin, and then at Michigan State. So, they've been in a little bit of a slide, but some of it is schedule-induced. And I've said this really since early January, maybe even before that. I don't know who's going to win the Big Ten. At this moment, Michigan State's alone atop the standings, although Indiana will probably tie them with a simple victory tonight. But whoever finishes fourth in that league is going to have a decent chance to make a Final Four. And I know some people on Twitter have joked that we could have an all-Big Ten Final Four. And I'll bet against that just because the odds are against it. But any of the top four or five teams in that league could reasonably have a goal to make the Final Four. And it's just a tremendous basketball league this year. And, you know, we're getting, you know, awesome games. Although this one was lopsided, it was still an awesome performance by Michigan State. We're getting at least two of those every single week.
Yeah, they've been extremely impressive. Not many Big Ten teams have beat other Big Ten teams like this, at least, you know, if you look at teams in the top half of the league. I ultimately think it's going to cost Michigan a one seed. Not that that could mean ultimately too much, but when Indiana, I got to figure Indiana and Michigan State now will finish ahead in the pecking order in that league. And so there's not going to be three number one seeds from the Big Ten. But Goodman, you want to give some love to this team and this starting five, which is obviously really good and still not even 100%, and they look this good.
Well, and you look at it and keep Appling really struggled from the floor, and they still beat them by 20-plus. And that's why Michigan State is pretty good. That's why they're dangerous, is because in their starting lineup, they've got defined roles. You know, Gary Harris can shoot the ball, good freshman, do more than just shoot, but that's what he's doing well. Dawson's just a warrior down low, can rebound the ball. Nix is a veteran who you can throw the ball to in the post, and he can score in a day and age that there aren't a lot of guys that are like that. Appling, again, he's your point guard, but he can score. And Adrian Payne is the X factor and didn't have to play great last night. And they still, again, they blew him out. Denzel Valentine played well coming off the bench. They've got Russell Bird. They didn't even have Travis Trice, I think, right? He didn't play last night. So, listen, the bottom line is there's not much separation between Michigan State, who we kind of wrote off after a couple losses early in the year. You know, the loss to Germany, to UConn in Germany, that was months ago. Who cares at this point? You know, they lost to Miami, and we all kind of laughed at that one and said, that's a bad loss. Well, that's not a bad loss. And again, when you've got this talent and you've got Tom Izzo coaching it, like Gary said, I'll put them in the hunt with about four or five other teams that have a chance to cut down the nets come April.
Yeah. Oh, hey, I just I was listening to Goodman ramble on and on. I just went and found the headline from MLive.com, the Michigan newspaper website. You want me to tell you what the headline says? I'll read it to you. CBSSports.com writer picks Michigan State to reach the Final Four. That's from October 12th, 2012.
Hey.
You want me to send that to you?
No, you're on it, dude. I'm.
I wish it said Parrish picks Michigan State to reach Final Four, because a lot of people could get credit for CBSSports.com writer. But if you read the lead, it says CBSSports.com columnist Gary Parrish is predicting.
You are a master prognosticator.
To the final under Coach Tom Izzo. How about that? So you can give credit to Goodman all you want to, but is there a headline in a Michigan newspaper that says Goodman did it? Because I found the headline that says I did it.
Hey, you nailed it, dude. My apologies.
You did nail it. That's very impressive.
That's extremely impressive. And we'll see if they actually end up getting there. And then if they don't,
it's almost as good as your prediction to try to have Kentucky at number one in the preseason this year.
I know. Like, when I send this to you, I'm gonna cut it because later on in the column it says
Parrish wanted number one, wanted Kentucky at number one.
Parrish predicts Indiana will win the Big Ten and also reach the Final Four, but it will be Kentucky that will repeat as national champion.
There you go.
And it was as recently as 3 weeks ago that Parrish was on his little Kentucky is the most underrated team in the country little rant there. So
mind your own damn business.
Hey, by the way, I on Monday's podcast with Dana O'Neill, I neglected to bring up the fact that Ben Brust hit like the shot of the year, and Wisconsin's doing well, and I had a few Wisconsin fans get on me. So I did want to give credit to the Badgers for getting an awesome win. They've won three in a row, and one on the road to Illinois, and then home to Iowa and Michigan. And you'd mentioned, you know, whoever finishes top four, Gary, in that league. And of course, Bo Ryan's whole deal is he always, always finishes top four. And they're doing it yet again. So props to Wisconsin, and that probably will be the shot of the year. Although the way the season's going, who else knows what we're in store for? But that Ben Brust three from 42 feet was absolutely gorgeous. Hey, you guys were in Florida together, clearly planned, even though you won't admit it. So how is that down there? You know, Gary, you wrote on Larinaga for Wednesday for the site. and the hurricane. So before we get to, you know, you guys eating sushi and Goodman having wildlife in his hotel room, talk to us a little bit about the Canes, who are now number three and are the rare team that has, and we'll have something on this on the site later on Wednesday as well, a rare team that goes from unranked the season before and then cracks the top five the following season.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I was sitting down with Larrañaga on Sunday after the day after the Carolina game where they made 15 three-pointers and just ran Carolina off the court from start to finish. And, you know, I started talking to him about, like, you know, did you expect this? Because I was sort of going at this as at an angle that I was going to write about, which I ended up not doing, about how, like, you know, if you make the Jim Larrañaga movie – you know, the final scene's supposed to be him beating UConn and cutting down nets to go to the Final Four at George Mason. And, you know, because it's never supposed to get better than that. And yet here he is in a situation where, I mean, they are projected as the number one seed right now. And so I'm sort of talking to him and I was like, did you think this was possible? He said, oh yeah, I thought it was possible last year. You know, we just had all those injuries. And so he seems to be, the least surprised person in the world about the success that they're having. And though we didn't have them number one in our top 25 and one, you know, Goodman can tell you, I actually pushed for it to some degree on Sunday night. I was like, at the very least, I said, I can make the case for this easily. And we ultimately decided to keep Indiana number one, and that's fine. But what's happening down there is it's literally unprecedented. Before this week, they'd never been ranked higher than eighth in the AP poll. Now I think they're third.
You know, he could say all he wants. He thought they were going to be, you know, a force last year, but he didn't know. I mean, listen, he hadn't been in this league to know where his talent stacked up. And to be honest, they weren't ready with a freshman point guard in Shane Larkin to do this. It's been the emergence of Larkin that's taken him to this new level. Now Durant Scott can play off the ball. Kenny Kaji wasn't the player last year that he is this year. You know, they're older, they fit together extremely well, and they've got maybe the most underrated point guard in America in Shane Larkin.
Yeah, one of the points he made is, you know, when he was talking about, and there's a variety of reasons why he ended up leaving George Mason to go to Miami, too many to even get into, but he did say that he looked at this and said, okay, listen, well, maybe we'll never be as good as Duke and Carolina, because most people are never as good as Duke and Carolina. But he looked around the league, and everybody else practically was in transition. Clemson had made a recent change. NC State had made a recent change. Georgia Tech. And he said, so, like, maybe, you know, while all these other schools are transitioning, we can kind of sneak in, particularly with an experienced roster. He liked Shane Larkin all the time. I can't tell you that he knew all the intangibles would be there like they are right now, because a lot of that stuff's things you can't see until the kid gets on a campus. But they knew, regardless of what happened last year, and they did have a ton of injuries, he knew, or he seems to have known, that heading into this year, that if they stayed healthy, he had a team that could challenge at the top of the ACC. Now, nobody ever expected him to be 10-0 in the league and undefeated with its full complement of roster, right? Complement of players right now. But it's a neat story of what's happening down there. This 63-year-old man, who a lot of people, let's be honest, when he took the Miami job, said he's just doing what old white people do, which is
that would be me. I said that, absolutely. Retired down in Miami. Early retirement.
Just moving to Florida to go retire, like a lot of old white people do. And in reality, he's now got, I think, a legitimate Final Four contender. And I don't think they're the most talented team in the country, but they are. We always talk about men against boys. They are men against boys.
Exactly.
And they are all old, experienced, strong, well-coached dudes. And I don't know that they're the most talented team in the country, but they've got an opportunity to do the whole thing, which is not something anybody would have ever thought would be a reasonable thing to say in February.
Yeah, they are. I mean, you hit on it. They are. I mean, people don't realize Kenny Kaji's like 24 years old. Like, these are grown men, a lot of seniors of impact over the age of 21. I mean, Kaji's a senior, Reggie Johnson's a senior, Durant Scott's a senior, McKinney Jones is a senior, even role players like Julian Gamble is a senior. So that year,
Julian Gamble's in his sixth year, I think, right?
It's amazing, yeah. And this
by the way, you guys give me crap. for having all my favorite players. You claim all my favorite players are white. Reggie Johnson's my favorite player now.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, but you gotta have one to kind of throw it off. So
to be honest, listen, I'm working on having Reggie Johnson replace Parrish in Memphis radio because the ratings would go through the roof. He's that good.
The ratings are already through the roof. So.
Yeah, they'd really be through the roof with Reggie's unbelievable. I'm gonna have him on every week on Sirius Radio, every single week.
Goodman sounds like the white dude talking about his black friend. Oh yeah.
It's like Costanza, exactly.
No, you guys are the ones. I'm just saying, you guys kill me for Robbie Hummel and Rodney Clark and.
Oh, the list is, don't just stop there. I mean, the list, we could run this podcast to 55 minutes if you kept going down the list. Instead, I want you to tell us what the hell happened to you in your hotel room, because I promised you I'd let you get the story time and kind of take the spotlight away from Paris this week. So what on earth was in your bathtub down in Florida, dude?
Well, first of all, I go down there to surprise my dad for his 70th birthday. So the background is we all fly in and we get in before the storm hits. We're supposed to fly in Friday night, which is basically the heart of the storm. We get in Thursday. We surprise my dad and me and my wife and daughter. And then I got to look for a hotel that's hardwired, because I got to do my Sirius show and it won't work with Wi-Fi or whatever. So I'm looking everywhere. Finally, we find this kind of resort in Singer Beach. Beautiful, beautiful place. They put us in a great room. It's like a 2-bedroom suite, view of the ocean. It's unbelievable. So we're ready to go out for dinner. I think it was the second night we were there. It might even be the first night. I can't remember. So we're ready to go out for dinner. My parents are there. My wife's getting ready. My daughter's getting ready. We're about 10 minutes away, and I'm going to jump in the second shower. There's two showers. I'm going to jump in the second one while my wife and daughter are getting ready in the other bedroom. And I open the shower curtain, and this thing is sitting there staring at me. And it's like a – looks like a mini alligator. The thing's like a foot long, and it's in my bathtub just looking at me. And it's like this little reptile-y thing. I don't know what it is. And I'm like, what the hell do I do? I'm not taking this thing out with my hands and, like, getting rid of it. But my wife's in the, you know, 20 feet away in the next bedroom. And if she sees this thing,
it's over.
And if my daughter sees this thing, it's over.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what do I do? All right, I'm going to shower in the other bathroom. I'm going to be fine there. I close the shower door. I close the regular door, but it's not one of the – it's a sliding door. Okay, so I close it, but I don't lock it. Just because I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here. We all walk down. And I'm like, I tell Melissa, I'm like, hey, honey, I got to talk to them at the front desk about, you know, I made some copies and there was some billing issues and just made something up. So I go down to the lady. I say, hey, listen, we're going out for dinner for about 3 hours. You got to get rid of this alligator that's in my room. This looks at me like, what are you talking about, you dumbass? And I'm like, no, this is like a reptile in my room. You got to get rid of it by the time I get back. You know, I took out the do not disturb thing off the, you know, off the door handle as I left. And I come back 3 hours later. I'm feeling good. I forgot about it. And I'm like, you know, Melissa, I got to go talk to him again about that billing issue. Clear it up. So I go to the lady. I go, you took care of the animal or whatever the thing is, right? And she's like, yeah, hang on one sec, Mr. Goodman. I'm like, so you have these two guys come up. And they're like, yeah, Mr. Goodman, unfortunately, we couldn't get in your room. I'm like, what? Yeah, you left the light on, the do not disturb light on. I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like, I told you to get this thing. This thing could be anywhere by now. By this point, my wife and daughter are already upstairs. It's 10:30 at night. In her pajamas, probably brushing her teeth in that bathroom. So I'm like worried that this thing is going to scare the crap out of her. So we go up. They go, well, we can go upstairs and say it's about maybe a broken toilet. I'm like, no, you gotta understand here. My wife's going to know something's going on when two men show up. They're showing up for a broken toilet. So they come upstairs. We tell her the truth. They look everywhere for this thing.
Oh.
Can't find it anywhere. So now my wife thinks I'm
terrifying.
Crazy. They think I'm crazy. They think I made up. I saw this alligator in our room. But I'm telling you, I saw this thing. It was big.
It's unlike you to not get a photo. That's all I'm going to say.
I know, and that's what I regret more than anything else. I think I was just scared of this thing, like, jumping at me or something. I ran.
But you got a new room, though, right?
We were upgraded to the room, not the presidential suite, but the one underneath, and we were comp for two more nights.
It's a hell of a deal there, man.
I'd let an alligator go in my bathtub for two comp nights. I think that's a reasonable deal.
That's the moral of the story here. But not everybody listening to this podcast can use that excuse, because if I want to use it again, we can't have this going around the Marriotts.
That's true. Well, good on you, man. That's a good story. That's good. That's parish level right there. You stepped up. I'm very impressed right there.
It was it was good. It was a good trip. It was a good trip. It's not over yet. I get to see Duke Carolina. Duke probably throttled Carolina
probably
tonight. I mean, I don't even want to see Carolina. Roy Williams doesn't want to see him either.
Could this be the most tame game at Cameron in like decades?
No, because Duke fans, because it's a Cameron, they're licking their chops for this one.
I guess.
Their minds, because they think they can punish Carolina. I don't think they'll punish him, but I think it'll be kind of much along the lines of Florida, Kentucky last night, where it was close enough numbers wise, but Kentucky was never in the game.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I'd like to see a good game here in Carolina to give us a reason to like them again, but I just don't think it's going to be that close ultimately. Hey, Parrish, anything you want to contribute to the podcast here before we wrap up and get on with our Wednesdays?
I think I've contributed enough.
It's a bit worse.
Wow. Look at this. Early AM version. And I honestly think this is the first podcast we've done as a threesome where Goodman has talked more than Parrish. And Parrish,
Norlander, you're supposed to be the leader of the podcast. You don't ask people what they're – hey, is there anything else you want to contribute? You ask questions. You ask questions. Like every once in a while you
flip a switch. Can you flip a switch and just cut them?
Dude, I asked questions last week and we saw how that went. By the way, Minnesota kind of on a slide, just saying.
The Minnesota question. He's right. It was a good question, after all.
Just and what
they lost to the same Illinois team that everybody loses to. Gonzaga, Butler, Indiana.
Northwestern and Purdue.
Northwestern and Purdue are something serious.
Okay. I'm just saying here. Hey, I just wanted to give you the floor.
Hey, listen, Norlander, do you have a question for me? If so, I will answer it.
Yeah. What kind of sushi do you go with when you go to the sushi place? You and Goodman were at the sushi place. That's what I want to know. What's your go-to roll here? Everyone's got a go-to roll.
My go-to roll is the Gary Parrish anxiety disorder roll at Bluefin in Memphis. Yes, I have a sushi roll named after me.
No, you do not.
Yes, I do.
How many food items in Memphis are named after you? Because that's not the only one, right?
Well, I think it's the only one right now. There was a drink named after me at Bar Dog, a place downtown. And now there is – and then one guy named his weed jar after me. He has a jar where he keeps his weed, and he named his weed jar after me. So it was Gary Parrish weed jar. And then I've got Bluefin, which is a really nice sushi spot in downtown Memphis. I'm actually on the menu there. Yeah, I have my own roll. And so I prefer that. But in South Beach, they didn't have that roll. So actually we were at a big table. There were a lot of people there, and one guy, I think, just ordered for the whole table. And so whatever they put in front of me, I was happy.
All right. Fair enough, fellas.
Did I tell you the roll is named after me? It's actually on the menu.
Yeah. Yeah. The anxiety roll.
No, 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 no. The Gary Parrish anxiety disorder roll.
Okay. By the
way. You should try it, Orlando, if you ever get the Memphis.
One, I will. Two, I think Goodman's actually packing up because he's got to catch a flight.
That was me leaving, by the way.
He's got to catch
a flight. That was me leaving. I was bored.
Yeah, he's got to actually catch a flight. This is what makes the podcast so good. Goodman's actually packing because he's got to make sure he makes this flight to Carolina. But, fellas, good one. We have done early AM, 2 AM podcasts. We've done these crack of dawn ones. We love the listeners for it. I love you guys for it. Have a great Wednesday, okay? Appreciate everything. Goodman, make that flight.
I'll be in my Oscar Mayer car in about 5 minutes.
Exactly. I'll have that picture. I'll have that picture on the podcast rundown. So, all right, guys.
All right, I'm going to send you this headline from the Michigan newspaper.
That will also be in the podcast rundown, so send it over to me right away. Have a good Wednesday, and we'll talk to you soon.